Hello, again, Steve Elzinger here with the coaching class. Again, I hope you're keeping up. Congratulations if you've gotten this far. We're almost to the halfway point, and often that's when you get tired. I mentioned that Nehemiah passage where they were building the wall, and they got about halfway, and that's when they realized how hard something really is. And you know, so you might be at the fatigue part of this class, but you're almost halfway, which means you're almost there. So keep going. I think you'll be glad you did. Again, remember, practice, practice, practice. I'm going to be talking and giving you three different models in this session. And when you listen to them, you know, maybe jot some things down and then go try it out on anybody. You can try it on your spouse, your brother, your sister, your friend, the guy who's walking his dog down the road. It doesn't matter. Especially a few of these that I'm going to talk about, the president of Christian Leaders Institute, Henry Reinga, and I have asked one of these questions of people all over the world over the last 20 years. And people that we just met, people on a bus, people on the plane, it didn't matter. And fascinating discussions ensue. So, all right. Looking again at the decision, part four, three things coaches do to accomplish the whole coaching thing. Number one, they help a client figure out what they want to do. That's the decision. Number two, help the client figure out how to do what they want to do. That's the plan. Number three, help the client do what they plan to do, and that's management. So we're still chipping away at the first one, help the client figure out what they want to do, the decision. We're taking a lot of sessions on this because really this is the hardest one. It's hard to figure out exactly what area of life someone should do something about, what the problem is or a need for improvement. And so just giving you a lot of different tools, a lot of different ways that you can sort of attack this problem, getting the client to figure out what area of their life they actually want to do something, to come up with a goal. And then it's relatively more easy to then figure out a plan, and then it's just about managing after that. And, each one has their own struggles and challenges. But I think figuring out what to do is where people initially are stuck. Well, once you get going with this and you go over this ground a few times with a client, the client will have plenty of things that they want to do, and they'll get the whole hang of how to figure these things out. So help the client figure out what they want to do to make a decision. Three basic model categories. We're in the brainstorm session right now. We're looking at all the different areas of life that a person could figure out something to do. And then eventually we're going to get to the section where we try to prioritize those things. Out of all the things that we could do, what should we do? And then finally, making a commitment to actually do something about it. So this first step, brainstorm the areas of action. We've been looking at different areas of life. We looked at the seven connections. We looked at sort of random areas. We looked at commitments and obligations, wants and needs. But this one, we're going to look at what I call the dream model. The dream model. The question that Pastor President Reinga and I ask people for the last 20 years all over the world is this one. What is your spiritual dream? I know I've talked about it in other courses that I've done. It's just a fascinating question, and it really helps people get off of the dime. I know when Henry and I were at church planting and we were trying to figure out a way to evangelize, we were trying to figure out how to way to engage unchurched people about spiritual matters. And at the time we became friends with Rich DeVos, who is one of the co-founders of the Amway Corporation. Maybe you've heard of it. It's all over the world. Amway is all over the world. and it's independent sellers, and their method of trying to get people involved in their organization was to ask the question, what is your dream? You know, what is your dream in life? And people often have financial dreams, and then, you know, then the Amway person was, well, you know, here's a way that maybe you could make some of those dreams happen. Well, we thought, you know, people have financial dreams, but that's not their biggest dream. And so we started asking people, so what is your spiritual dream? Spiritual dream. Now, sometimes we got pushback because we'd ask anybody, random people that we'd meet, you know, and a lot of times people would ask, well, what do you mean by spiritual? You know, you ask me what my dream is, and I'm going to tell you, you know, to be a doctor or to get married or whatever. But when you add the word spiritual, I'm not sure what that means. And we'd always respond by saying, well, whatever you want it to mean. We wouldn't try to put any of our content into it. And people generally got over it, and they would answer the question. And what we discovered, that the word spiritual just made them dig deep. It was like saying, what is your biggest dream? Not just financial dreams, not little dreams, but the overall encompassing dream of your life. And what we found when we asked that question is people would tell us, often they would tell us two things, but they'd at least tell us one of two things. Everyone really had the same answer. It was fascinating. Whether they believe in God or they didn't believe in God, it didn't matter. Whether they went to church or not go to church, whether they lived in this country, we asked it all over the world. Both of us were working for the Bible League at that time, brought us all over the world, and we discovered everyone said the same thing. And this is what people said. One of their answers sort of related to the people in their life. They had a dream of having a good marriage or meeting the right spouse, or they had a dream that their kids would turn out well and marry well. They had a dream of helping disenfranchised youth, or they had a dream of, you know, they had a connection to people dream. And then a lot of times people had a sort of connection to God or the spiritual force out there in the universe. I remember asking one guy in Vancouver, we were looking out on the ocean, and we're just staring out at the ocean, and I just turned to him. I didn't know who he was. I'd never met him before. And I just said, hey, so what's your spiritual dream? And the guy said, well, what do you mean by spiritual? And I said, oh, whatever you want it to mean. And then he looked out in the ocean and he said, I guess my spiritual dream is to be one with the whales. I said, okay, that's an interesting spiritual dream. How do you relate to that? But see, what he was really saying, you know, because it was, you know, it was the West Coast here, you know, in North America, a lot of New Age thinking, I am God, you are God, the whales are God, the tree is God, we're all part of this pantheistic world, you know, we're this one cosmos thing, and we're all part of the thing, you know. So his goal was to, like, nirvana, is kind of a Buddhist idea, and so what was he really saying? His dream was to be connected to God. You know, that's my dream too. I have a God dream too. I want to be connected to God too. He wants to be connected to God. I want to be connected. Now, he has a wildly different view of God than I do, but it's the same dream. So people, when you ask this question, they're going to connect to people, and they're going to connect to God. And I think it's really interesting because when sin came into the world, you remember what happened? There was two things that happened right away when sin came into the world. Adam and Eve sinned against God, and they did two things. They first of all hid from each other. They realized they were naked, so they had to hide behind clothes. Okay? So brokenness between people. And the second thing they did is when God came around, they hid from God. They hid from each other. They hid from God. Okay, what are the two things that people want? They want a connection to people. But what are they doing instead? They're hiding. There's brokenness in that relationship. What do they want? They want to connect to God or the force or the whales or whatever view of God they have. But what are they doing? They're hiding from God. You see what's happening? People want these things, but they're frustrated. They're not connecting to God. They're not connecting to the person. You have the divorces in the United States end in divorce. Families, are living without fathers. Brokenness, pain, and suffering is what we see in the world and in the world of people. Countries going to war, police, armies, nuclear threats. All of this is because there's brokenness. People are not getting what they want. And people are not connecting to God as they would like. They're frustrated in these spiritual dreams. So it's a great question because it brings up the problem, the basic core problem. And so you can use this with your client. I want to use the dream model. So can I ask you a couple of questions? Sure. Well, what's your spiritual dream? And they end up thinking about it, and they end up talking about their real needs. The thing they really, really want in life. And so then they express what they really want. And then your next question is, are you getting what you want? Is this dream coming true, or is this just a dream? See? And then that can lead to action-oriented questions, right? Here's a second version of the dream model. What is something you've always wanted to do? So, we get bogged down with obligations and commitments and things that we have to do, and people are worn out from that. They're discouraged by that. If you spend all of your life doing all the things you have to do and none of the things that you want to do, you start wondering what is the purpose of life, and especially if the things that you're supposed to do aren't even working. You want a great marriage, but it's not working. You want a great family, but it's not working. You want to feel fulfilled in your role in ministry, and it's nothing but frustration. Your pastor doesn't honor the courses that you're taking here at Christian Leaders Institute. Your church doesn't give you an opportunity to share and make use of what you've learned. And so here you have all this learning. You're ready to go. You want to serve God. And then, the very people that know you the most aren't letting you do it. And you're just frustrated in this dream. And it's hard to keep going. I'm going to keep taking a class. Why should I take this class? I don't know where this is going. So as a coach, you're giving voice. You're letting the client have a voice to his frustrations about the things that they really, really want. And they're not getting them. They're frustrated in these dreams. What is something you've always wanted to do? Maybe you don't know if you'd be successful at it, but this is something that you've wanted to do. We all have those dreams. And a lot of these dreams we've never told anybody about because we're afraid that if we did tell someone our dream, they would laugh at us. You think you can be a pastor? You think that you can preach? You think you could plant a church? You think you could lead a Bible study? You? I wonder if that's what happened to the disciples. They're fishermen. And then they go off and follow this rabbi. And this rabbi, has all these grandiose ideas that he thinks these disciples can do. I wonder what the hometown of these disciples thought. What? You think you can be a teacher? Really? Simon Peter, you a fisherman? You're not even that good at fishing. How are you going to do this? So it holds us back, and so we put a lid on all our dreams. And it's our dreams that set us free. It's our dreams that motivate us. And you know what? Dreams don't always have... You don't always have to be successful. The best thing about a dream is going after it, not getting it. A lot of times people go after a dream, they finally get it, and it's like kind of a letdown. It's the pursuing of a dream. That's the fun of life, but we don't even do that. We don't even try. So a coach comes along and gives voice to that. Hey, what is it you always want to do? Let's talk about it. Maybe we can figure something out. Number three is another way to ask it. If you had 3 years to live, what would you want to accomplish? I tell you that question is going to make a big difference for a lot of people. If you just sat, you know, in an environment where you have a relationship with a person and a trusting relationship, a non-judgmental, a supporting relationship. Seriously, if you only had 3 years, the doctor said you have 3 years to live, what would you do? Would you keep doing what you're doing right now? What would you change? What would you add? What is something that you would want to do? Okay, let's identify all those things. And maybe we shouldn't wait until you only have 3 years. You know, because maybe you have more than 3 years, but you don't have 100 years, probably. 100 years from now, all of us, every one of you that are listening to this tape, unless you're listening to this tape like 50 years from now, but all of those that are listening to this tape, you know, in this year, will be gone. So we only have a limited amount of time. And see, this coaching question, this dream model, sort of puts it out there. What are you going to do with your dreams? And then ultimately, you know, as you talk about it, and you think about things, and you write things down, ultimately you get to, well, what action-oriented goal can we come up with that relates to these? So we have all this stuff, and eventually we're going to try to, you know, whittle it down to some goal, something that we can actually do about this. All right, another model is the opportunities model. What opportunities are you currently engaged in? Okay, for many of you, you're taking these classes. That's like an opportunity. Maybe you've always wanted to go to like a Bible school or a seminary, but you didn't have the money, or you didn't have the opportunity, or you didn't have a way to get there, or you're trying to make a living. You're having to pay for a family and take care of a family, and there's no way you can just take a year off and go to Bible school. So you're working, doing the things that you're obligated to do, but this is like a new opportunity. You found this opportunity. It's a free opportunity. It's something that you can do. You've done a few classes already, and you've learned, yes, I can actually learn and grow. Maybe you struggled as a young student back in the day, and the setting wasn't right for you, or maybe you weren't right for the setting. Who knows? A lot of kids struggle at school when they're young, and then when they're older, they take to it and they succeed at it. Maybe that's you. Maybe this is sort of the opportunity that you're in right now. What opportunities are you currently engaged in? Maybe it's some ministry opportunity. Maybe God has put on your heart a certain kind of ministry, and you're putting your feet into the water. You're trying it out. You know, so as a coach, I'm saying, okay, client, let's think about the opportunities that you're engaged in right now. And are the things that you want to do about that? Are the things that you want to change or make an improvement on? What opportunities are a possibility? Okay, these are opportunities you're in, but what things could be on the horizon? You know, maybe you're taking ministry classes, and maybe you're trying to figure out an opportunity for, you know, using what you know in your present church. Or maybe the possibility is you'd plant a church. Or you'd get a few CLI students together, and together you would plant a church. Maybe you don't have all the gifts to make it happen, but if you combined with others, you could do something like that. Okay? So that, you know, I'm saying this to a client. Help him to think about possibilities. Possibilities at your current job. Possibilities in your family. Possibilities, reaching out to your dream. You're helping someone expand their mind. Most of culture is against possibilities. And oftentimes the people that we hang around with, they don't think about possibilities. They think about just doing what they've always done. So then finally, as you talk about these things, your goal is to find an action-oriented goal related to these possibilities. Possibilities that you're in and possibilities that are still out there in the future. All right. I want to conclude this session with the most unleading model. Remember, in some ways, as a coach, I don't want to lead my client. I don't want to put ideas in his head that weren't there in terms of what he should do. I don't want to, like, lean him in this direction or that direction. I just want to open up all the possibilities to my client and have him figure out what he should do or not do through his experiences and through, you know, prayer and Bible and, you know, talking and listening to God and being supported in his church and his family. He's the one that has to figure it out. I've gotten to know you and I think you would be gifted in this area. Okay, that's what I used to do as a pastor and as a teacher and as an advisor. You know, I've met a lot of people. I've seen a lot of things. And, you know, as I get to know you, let me suggest to you what I think you'd be happy doing. Okay, that's what we're inclined to do. Okay, but that's not the coaching thing. And the problem with that, I've seen it in my own life. I think I'm so smart, I'm going to offer to you my advice. And if you were smart, you would take what I say at face value and you would do it if you were smart. I'm a smart person. And if you were a smart person, you would follow my lead. You would do what I say. Okay? That's how I've often thought. But what happens is people, okay, they take your advice, they go out, they hit the first problem, and they quit. Why do they quit? They quit because it wasn't their idea. It was your idea. It was your idea for them. And they sort of believed you because they didn't know what else to say, but they didn't really believe you. They didn't believe you with all their heart and their soul and their mind. And that's what it takes to succeed. You know, when I planted a church, I had no idea what I was doing. So I went to others and I found other successful church planters and I found out what they had done. I thought, okay, well, that worked for him. Maybe I should use that. And then that worked for, okay, so maybe I should use that. And that's what I did. And it sort of worked, okay? I built a church. In 3 years, it went to 500 people. But the church was weak. And I was wearing myself out trying to feed all these people. I thought I had to do everything. I had to have great sermons. I had to have great music. I'm trying to do everything to make you come next week. And I want you to invite your friends. And so I'm going to make this the best possible thing that I could possibly make it. Well, after 3 years, I was tired. And I crashed and burned. And I took a trip to Florida. And I was driving in my car. And I had nothing but tears. And I was depressed and discouraged. And then God spoke to me and he said two words. That's all he said. And I'd never heard God speak to me, I mean, little words before. And he said these two words, or three words, I am here. And that's all he said. That's all I got. And I thought, well, yeah, God, I know you're here, but how does that help me? And over the next couple of weeks, God, I think, you know, through people and through talking about it, revealed to me what he was talking about. I am here. And what God was saying to me is, I am here and what matters is your relationship to me. That's what matters. Not your sermons, not how well you're managing the church, not how much the church is growing, but my relationship to you. The second thing that matters is your relationship to your spouse and together your relationship to me. And the third thing that matters is your relationship to your children, your four boys, and your family's relationship to me. That's what I care about. That's what I want you to do. Relationship to me, your spouse, your family. And if you can help other individuals and couples and families do the same thing that you're doing, and they help other people, and that turns into a successful church, that's my problem. Okay, so, you know, I went to successful churches. They're advising me to do this. They're advising me to do that. And it sort of worked, but it killed me. Why? Because it wasn't mine. When God spoke to me, this is what I want. Okay, when through the circumstances and the hardships and the trials and the being depressed, when God spoke in the middle of all that, that's what changed my life. That gave me a focus that I can't be moved from. I don't care if it's successful or not. I don't care if the church grows or not. This is what I must do. I must walk with God in my own life. I must walk with God with my marriage. I must walk with God with my children. And I'm trying to pass that on to others. That's it. You see, because it comes from within me, you know, God working in me, God in my relationship to God. See, now I have something that's strong. Something that I can't just be, you know, little few obstacles I'm going to quit. See, that's what you're trying to get your client to figure out. It's I'm not just giving you advice. Try this. I'm really smart. You should do this. I've been successful with this, and you will be if you do the same thing as I do. That's kind of what's going on in our world today. All these people who have successfully, if you just follow me and do what I did, then you'll be successful. But the one thing that successful person is not saying is the inner motivation that's coming from within them. There's a reason why they did what they did to finally become a success. And if I'm just doing it to be like you, it's not strong enough. I have to do what fits me. So the most unleading model, if you want to get your client to think about, things of their life and to change things, you can just simply ask, what do you want to talk about? Here we are. I'm a coach. You're the one that's being coached. What do you want to talk about? And let them ramble on. And out of that, you try to find, the interesting thing. Well, that's interesting. Can you tell me more about that? And that's going to lead to a need or a problem. Human beings always gravitate towards the problem in their life or the need or something that they want changed. Or two, is there any action-oriented goal you can think of that emerges out of what we talked about? So you let him. I mean, this is the best way in some ways. Now, some clients can't, they just can't think when they have such a blank slate. This is like the big blank slate. What do you want to talk about? And then out of all that we talked about, is there anything that you want to do? This is coaching at its simplest. And most coaches don't have the patience to do this. They want to lead. They want to give them more direction. Try it. I've told you, you listen to something, go and try it. Try it. Try it with someone you know today. And finally, what action-oriented goal related to the above? So what do you want to talk about? What action goal is there? And, so that's the thing that we're going to think about. All right. We'll see you again next time.